lights out. We're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
Tom Shavulak, the 2025 MotoGP season is done, and it's been a year defined by domination in the most ferocious way. Unexpected results behind it, tumultuous contracts, relentless pressure, and careers shaped as much as they are off track as on it. Marc Marquez was untouchable. At his very best, no one had an answer. Outright speed, racecraft, aggression, all dialed back in. This was Marc reminding the entire grid exactly who he is. And right beside, alongside him, was Alex Marquez. No one saw it coming. Consistent, composed, and fast. Alex delivered career-best results and helped create one of the most unlikely stories of the year. The Marquez brothers running 1-2 in the championship. Who would have thought? Pecco Bagnaia, though, became the story for all the wrong reasons. Cracks under pressure, costly mistakes, and a level of inconsistency we simply haven't seen before. On talent alone, he should have been there or thereabouts, but mentally, 2025 got away from him. Marco Bezzecchi deserves the real credit. He put Aprilia on his back and dragged them back into contention with results, belief, and momentum all coming from one rider when that team desperately needed it. Jorge Martin barely had a season at all. Injuries sidelined him for most of the year, turning what should have been a defining campaign into a long, frustrating wait on the sidelines. Pedro Acosta showed flashes of the future, fearless, ridiculously fast, but also the growing pains that come with learning MotoGP the hard way, especially on a KTM gone bankrupt. Yamaha and Honda continue to rebuild, Yamaha seemingly going backwards while Honda are making leaps and bounds. Tonight we are breaking down the season. This is Motorsport Republica. Let's get into it, T-Shirts.
Wow, loved it. Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Amazing year for MotoGP. Utter domination from a man where a bike, you know, wasn't the dominant bike in the end. So it was an incredible season. And what we're going to grapple with tonight is Ducati. It was a massive success for them, but we're probably not going to say they're going to finish the season with the fastest bike, which we wouldn't have picked out at the start of the season. We're going to run through, we've got some questions, best and worst. We're going to go through our predictions from the start of the season. We're in for a hell of a show tonight.
Yeah, we've got a massive show. There's so much to talk about. Most surprising teams, riders, disappointing, favorite races, who impressed us the most. As you said, we've got for our 2025 predictions are hilarious. While we've gone through, it's very, very funny. We've even got all your questions on social media. We did a post or a story talking about your bold predictions at the start of the year, and then obviously what your bold hot takes are from the end of the year as well. So it's good, yep. Mate.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I am pumped, man. I'm pumped, and that's why I want to go through the questions first, because I know the predictions from my point of view are going to be a bit wayward.
They're all horrendous.
Especially with Honda and those boys. So. Yeah,
it's very funny. It's very, very funny. Just while we're into it, shout out to motorheaven.com.au. Those boys have been with us from the very start, all the way through the MotoGP season. Check them out. Get your last-minute Christmas gifts with them, or even an online MotoHeaven gift card as well.
T-shirts. Yeah, beautiful. And guys, the love all year on YouTube, Instagram, Apple, Spotify has been awesome.
Yeah, so we just hit 2,500 subscribers. Big deal for us on YouTube.
Thank you. It's been a we can say it's been a long, hard road, but it's still new, so new to us, yeah. Isn't it? So just jump on board, guys, and we really appreciate it. Like and subscribe on YouTube helps us the most. So we really appreciate that. And Patreon is growing and growing massively. It is a space we're loving at the moment.
It's fun.
We just recorded a Patreon before this, and it is so, so, so fun. So we rewatched a old classic MotoGP race and attempted to commentate and talk about it, which was really fun. So
yeah, that's
like
right.
A watch along companion party.
Yeah, it's our companion. We did a companion. It's the 2015 Philippines MotoGP race, the infamous Rossi Marquez, where at the ground zero it was. Yep. So we've commentated on that. It was actually, we kind of didn't expect what and how to do it or what to do, but it was so much fun that it was hilarious. And it was interesting seeing all those old riders, yep. And you know, the potential blocking from Mark or holding up. So you can hear all of that. We watched the whole race from start to finish. I actually strongly recommend watching or listening to that one, because it is you can listen to it, like you can watch along if you've got a second screen or whatever. You can listen to it because we talk a whole heap of shit at the same time. It was one of the most fun things we've actually done on the podcast.
So good. So get involved in Patreon, guys, and it helps us produce more and better more content, I suppose. Yeah,
so. Less helmets fall off the walls when you when you fucking pay us more money. We can afford stronger tape.
I love it.
Better glue. Now, T Shavs, we've got some questions to start off our 2025 show review, MotoGP, highly anticipated MotoGP review show. First question off the Cabot Bank? I don't even know.
Cabot Bank.
Most surprising rider or riders for you, Tom?
Yeah, so I had two on the list tonight. The most surprising for me was Alex Marquez.
Yeah.
For me, it was, you know, there's been some amazing performances throughout the year, but for him, you know, he's been in the category for a few years now and done not a lot. He won a couple of, I think, sprint races and, you know, but finishing second in the championship, mm-hmm. beating Pecco Bagnaia in the championship on an older bike was incredible. And then surprising for me in a bad way was Pecco's form, and I'm sure we're going to climb into that soon. But
oh yeah, I didn't kind of think about that. That's an interesting take. See, I just did surprising riders as in positives.
Yeah,
you went to a negative. That's interesting.
Well,
I like that.
I was the if you say yeah. my biggest surprise of the year, it was how slow he was.
No, great call.
So for me, it was it was always going to be a positive question, but I had to throw a bit of Pecco shade in there.
Yeah, well, I like that. And the inconsistency with him was, you know, like we've spoken about it, you know, relentlessly through the whole year. Like it's been one of the biggest talking points was Pecco Bagnaia. I wouldn't say through the whole year. I'd say from, round 9 onwards or something like that.
Yeah, I think, actually looking back on it, he didn't start the year in a terrible way. I mean, we looked at Burim where he finished third and he had a couple of good results, one in Coda.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you just have really quick and, you know, you don't have long memories in motorsport, do you? It's always what happened in the last second half of the season. And,
correct.
You know, it was atrocious, so.
Well, he still had 2 wins and 8 podiums.
Yeah.
So 2 wins is both well under par, but he still had 8 podiums, you know. And that most of it all came within the first 10 rounds.
Yeah.
Because then it just really, he flew off the handle from there.
Yeah, I think rock bottom was, you know, Indonesia, I think. And, you know, he was back with Chantra at one point and then just crashed, lost the front end for fun.
Even San Marino.
Yeah.
Silverstone, he was nowhere. I was kind of, maybe the first of it was maybe Silverstone, I reckon.
Wild. Absolutely.
Long
wild.
Time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon it was probably around then when it was at first started unraveling. Most surprising rider for me, Tom Shavulak. I'll back you up with Alex Marquez. It has to be Alex Marquez, and no one expected what he or Gresini were going to do. Second in the World Championship, just absolutely such a surprise. And to be, you know, he's still. Mark was leaps and bounds ahead, but he was consistently, through the whole year, the closest one to Mark.
100%.
And taking it to him, and obviously won a couple races there. So Alex Marquez had 3 wins and 12 podiums. So, that's fucking good. That's good going, no matter who you are.
And at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of people said, thank God Ducati have signed Mark Marquez, because if they hadn't and Jorge Martin was on that bike, Alex Marquez would have won the championship.
Yeah.
On an inferior Ducati 2 years in a row, you know.
Yeah.
That's not a good look for the team, you know.
Nah.
They're happy winning championships, but progress is slowed down massively in that organization, all thanks to the concessions, we think.
Yeah, no, definitely concessions, and we've spoken about that at length. Second one for me is Marco Bezzecchi's most surprising rider, only because, and again, I've spoken about it ad nauseum, but he's just turned around that project, that bike, and himself. He, as I said in the opening monologue, he carried Aprilia on his shoulders. He was the one to, you know, with the team, obviously it's a team game, but he was the one to say, jump on me back, boys. We're going to do this, you know. Ended up being third in the championship, which is incredible. 3 wins, 9 podiums, 353 points. Easily the best of the rest, I guess, of the non-Ducati riders, I guess you could say, but just a surprise for me because at the start of the year, you know, Bez wasn't fighting for wins. He was nowhere near. And even when he won in Silverstone, everyone was like, you know, Silverstone throws off wacky results. It was a wacky round. It was windy. It's kind of like Phillip Island where, you know, sometimes a random can win. But then to back it up and to be so fast at the end of the year, he was easily the fastest rider. And it's hard to judge because there was no Mark because he took out Mark. But it is... it's still such a surprise for him just to be third in the championship. And even if he just won one race or was consistent podiums, I'd still be surprised by that because I didn't have high hopes for Bez, but this is like what he should be doing. At this point in his career, this is what you should be doing on a factory bike.
Yeah, I agree. He was so fast in Indonesia, he ran up the arse of Marc Marquez. I mean, that's how fast he was. He would have caked that race in. So, 100%. You know, he Aprilia could have won the last four races in a row, which is incredible when you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, most surprising team?
Look, for me, it's probably still Gresini Ducati. I thought they... you know, you could say Aprilia, but for me, Gresini Ducati was the biggest surprise for me. I did not see... First of all, I didn't see Alex Marquez doing much, and I didn't see Aldeguer do anything.
Mm.
So for me, it was the combination of both those riders. They surprised me the most. You know, they were solid pretty much every race. They were there or thereabouts. Their upgrades, everything worked. You know, being on that 24 bike, that it just helped them, I suppose.
Yeah, and as you said, Aldeguer as a rookie, winning a race or two races, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He finished eighth in the world title, one race win and three.
And they were really podiums. They were podium hunting every weekend. They really were. So, which is the biggest surprise for me.
Consistently,
I thought that was going to be VR46. That's what for me. The Gresini performance of 2025, I thought that was VR46, and it wasn't.
Yeah, no, you're right.
What about you?
Look, I said Gresini as well, but to add on to that, and I'm going to say exactly what you said, was VR46 most surprising, but for the wrong way, because I thought they were going to be fast as well, and VR46 just weren't really there or thereabouts. They might have had a couple podiums here and there, but you know, Franco, I understand, was injured for a bit, made a lot of mistakes, and Digia, like Pecco, wasn't under the microscope as much, couldn't get used to that GP25 bike, and you know, they had a full factory spec Ducati in the GP25 and the best bike in the GP24, and we're well below par. Now, T-Shavs, this leads me to the most disappointing rider. Who do you have?
Yeah, I toyed with this throughout the afternoon. I was filling out these questions. There were some obvious choices, but for me, it was got to be Frankie Morbidelli.
Wow.
So inconsistent on that bike. He had the bike under him. He did really nothing all season.
Mm.
Crashed consistently. Yeah. Ran into people consistently. Yeah. Penalties consistently. So, and the reason why he's there for me, in my personal opinion, is I had him up there this year. I had him as should be my biggest surprise. And he, you know, cops a lot of slack in the media. There's still people defending him out there, which is crazy. And that's, I love that. If you're all for that, if you're defending him and he's your boy, that's cool. But, you know, at the end of the day, he had a very, very disappointing 2025 and a season to forget.
Yeah, he definitely did. It's a full-on take because there is a lot of disappointing riders. Well, there's not a lot, but there's a handful of disappointing riders. But look, I agree. Like, he was on arguably the best bike on the grid all year round, was injured, you know, backed by a big team. But, like, Frankie should have done better than two podiums for the year.
100%. Yeah,
he's got race-winning speed.
He's got talent. I mean, he wouldn't be there without it, obviously. But, yeah, just the inconsistency is just astounding for me.
Sometimes he just seems too like cool for school.
Yeah, like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's like seeing a lot of those guys, just, I don't know. In sport, you just, you wish people took it more seriously, but it's easy for us to say, obviously.
True.
Mm. Hey guys, Tom and James here from the Motorsport Republica podcast. We have teamed up with the legends at On Track Experience. They have two premium experience packages for the 2026 MotoGP season. James, tell me what they are.
They do, mate. You can have a guest experience opportunities, including paddock passes and access to Aussie riders. European hospitality with MLAV Racing, with Joel Kelso's team. Access to the back of the paddock, rubbing shoulders of all the MotoGP riders. Garage and service road access. Every MotoGP race on the calendar. Official MotoGP test days, Tom, which is incredible. Full season experience start to finish, and possibility, Tom, of joining us on the podcast. Doesn't get better than that.
Wow. So we're looking for expressions of interest at the moment, guys. We're going to have the link below. Jump on board, single race or for the full season at a massively discounted price. Get involved, join us, and welcome to the 2026 MotoGP season.
We love it.
Thank you. What about you?
Most disappointing riders. Oh, look, there's obviously two. I'm just going to do the two obvious ones. Jorge Martin sending himself to the moon. Like, you know, we've done that to death, but the just the worst title defense of all time. You know, like it was, you know, non-existent. And then to then, you know, try and get out of the contract, go to HRC. It just, you know, it's not really giving the Aprilia a go. And then being, you know, injured again on motocross. Like, he got injured on, remember, we forget this. He got injured at testing, then on Supermoto.
Yep.
And then got injured again.
In Qatar.
Yeah. So, like, it was a setback after setback, and it's just so disappointing to see. And, like, you don't want anyone hurt or, you know, that's the last thing we want to see. So, that's the most disappointing. And then, obviously, Pecco Bagnaia's consistency. Like, he ended up finishing, I think he finished fifth behind Pedro Acosta.
Yeah, Pedro got him on the last round.
Yeah, like, on a KTM, there it is nowhere. Like, nowhere. And it's just the inconsistencies of Pecco at the, you know, second half of this year or the last two thirds of the year, whatever it is just, yeah, I can't really fathom what really happened. No one can. Like, no one knows. So Pecco Bagnaia has to be with Jorge Martins for such two different reasons. My two most disappointing riders, which I think everyone could almost agree on that, can't they?
I think so. I think you're right. And then the obvious other choices, you got to say Chantra.
But there was no expectations with him. We knew.
Yeah.
He was one of the only people that we got right because we all chose
him last.
Yeah. Yeah, we all chose him last. So, like, you can understand.
Yeah.
You can easily understand that, where there was expectations on Jorge Martin to be top three in the championship and same with Pecco Bagnaia. And they both, you know, didn't achieve that. Jorge Martin was well off. And what disappoints me the most about Jorge Martin is that, like, it sucks, man. It fucking sucks. Like, he's been injured almost on the verge of death. Like, this is the crazy thing about motorcycle racing and how people forget how dangerous it is. But it also robbed us of that rivalry between Mark, you know, and what Aprilia could have done with a fully fit Jorge Martin.
I know. Like, you got to, like, Raul Fernandez wins a race in 2025 on an Aprilia. I mean, take nothing away from him, but what a fit Jorge Martin could have done that on that bike. Second half of the season, call it. You know, not saying that Mark wouldn't have won the championship, but we've said this 1,000 times. It would have had to be a hell of a lot closer.
Yeah. Exactly right. T-Shaft's most disappointing team.
I think it's pretty easy, this one.
Go on.
It's got to be Yamaha of the factory variety.
Yeah.
There was high hopes, James. This V4 concept was high hopes. Now, it never eventuated, I know. but just mistake after mistake after mistake. I mean, talk about three steps forward and then fucking five steps backwards, you know?
Oh, mate, I reckon half a step forward and about 60 meters backwards.
I mean, they had that, you know, just they nearly won a race with Quartararo. I think Primark actually probably went a little bit better than what I thought they were going to this year. And, you know, Alex Rins, poor Alex Rins. I don't know how he's still on that bike for next year, but he is. He's got nude photos of someone, Mr. Yamaha Yamamoto. But yeah, the classic thing for me, and we've said it 1,000 times on the pod this year, the V4, they didn't have the right. They couldn't run the bike anymore with Augusto Fernandez. They didn't work out the aero package correctly in terms of the rules. So
homologation.
So I mean, a massive issue there. Just didn't look like doing anything. Don't look like doing anything next year either.
Nah, they're in a major hole.
And I think the other thing is, James, they had a bit of a safe goat because Honda were going bad. Mm. And it was, you know, for them, it was like, we're both going bad. You know, the Italian manufacturer's just dominating. It's just how it is. Now it's like, no, Honda's come back up there. They're podium hunting.
Yeah.
And we're nowhere. We're up the back.
Yeah.
So it's a massive problem.
A massive problem. And it's not like the V4 fixes everything. I've said this before. Honda's been a V4 forever. And they're all shit house. So it doesn't, like, it's not going to fix everything. Like, there's still so much to do. Now, next year, it's different again. You know, you've got, like, Toprak, a full V4 testing, heaps of concessions. But they need to work these concessions to their favor. Like, Honda's throwing everything at it. They're the direct comparison. They've got all these test riders and, you know, with Nakagami and Aleix and doing so much where it doesn't seem like Yamaha's now really trying to, like, pull their finger out, but they just seem like they've got a long way to go.
Well, they're the only one in this Class D of concessions for next year. So, we'll see if anything possibly, please, just something can happen to that motorcycle.
For me, it was Yamaha, but I added in KTM as well because of the start of the year, the financial struggles. Sell some more fucking dirt bikes. Seriously, fund your race teams.
Rough. Really rough. Real rough on the team, that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a team's fault. It's the team's fault that the company's
fucking... you know what? Sell some fucking bikes. Seriously. So it's all in one. Sell some fucking bikes.
Direct correlation.
Yeah. Direct correlation. You know, they say it's ready to race or whatever the fuck their motto is. So they need a race. And I felt sorry for Pedro Acosta because he was doing everything on that KTM and really couldn't get anywhere. And then he snagged fourth in the championship. So he did a great job.
Incredible.
But, you know, KTM at the start of the year should have been faster. I know it's out of their hands to a degree, but, you know, I'm very bullish on KTM. I'm very bullish on KTM.
You are hard. You're like a dad that beats their kid to play sports and stuff. So it's like... Yamaha's your little kid at the moment. They're not doing good enough.
I'm slapping him around.
You are.
He's not getting dinner for another...
He ain't getting Christmas presents, mate. I'll tell you that for free.
Favorite race?
For me, has to be Le Mans.
Yeah.
Cinema. Yeah. Box office. You know, packed house. Biggest crowd of the year. Rain. Stayed on the tire, right time. Zarco, one tooth. Dad. Mum's never been to a race. Fuck it. Should I go on? Yeah. Shall I go on, James Shaw?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just an incredible experience sitting there watching that race, watching that Grand Prix. We don't get those races very often. And it was, it was my favorite by an absolute margin for the 2025 season.
Yeah, it was just so unexpected. And just, you know, hearing the French sing Le Marseillais, like how passionate they get around John Zarco and the French riders, the French national anthem. The rain just adds so much extra theater, as you said. And then with the one tooth, it was, and it, you know, Zarco crying, Lucio Ciccanello crying on the podium, bro. It was just the next level.
You know, him finishing, jumping off the bike, going to the main straight, the crowd, backflip. Oh, Jesus, you'd watch that film 1,000 times and never get sick of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I am with you. Le Mans was my favorite race, but I had to change it up. I would actually say Mugello and those 8 laps of battle between Pecco Bagnaia and Marc Marquez. Finally seeing the two Italian giants go at each other. But it was just amazing to see Marc break Pecco. And then Pecco ended up going down to about third. I think Alex might have passed him someone passed him. But for that battle for 7 or 8 laps, it was just edgy seat stuff, what we were waiting for. And it really told me that... After Mark doing the triple header just about for that, or at least a double header for that race, this is that's his championship because to beat Bagnaia and to break him like that at home on the same machinery, it was sayonara, and it was just great to see.
It produced the biggest oh my god moment, you know, of probably 2025 was that those first few laps, and they finally these two big dogs of the MotoGP community finally going at it. We've been waiting for this for half a season. They finally do it, and it didn't last long, but geez, my golly, it was good. And as I said on that Monday night after the race, fucking kudos to Pecco. He didn't lay down. He went for it. Didn't have the pace, but you know, it was an amazing few laps there.
He had to go for it. And normally when he does do that, he charges through, block passes someone, and really takes away their momentum and can win from there. But with Mark, it just doesn't work like that. The dude's just too aggressive. He's just fights too hard.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. But in saying that with Marc Marquez, he's been clean all year.
He has, and he expects it. And we talk about this. He does the hard move, but then he doesn't complain when he gets the hard move. And that's the difference. That is the difference between these riders over the years is they do the hard move, and then they're the first ones to complain about it when they get it in the other way. And then you lose respect from the fans.
Morbidelli is a fucking clear example of that.
100. And probably, you know, going back in time, it's probably more like the Lorenzo type. He used to come out in the media and complain about moves, that sort of thing. People don't want to hear that.
Nah.
Keep it on track. You go past that white line, put the helmet on, it's a different beast, you know. Yep. It should be like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I don't mind a bit of punch on in the paddock, don't get me wrong. Like, that's also fucking awesome. But, you know, just leave it on track.
No war of words anymore.
Can't
press conferences and shit. Everyone's fucking... But just 10 years ago, obviously, it was a Sepang incident, but there's always something going on.
Yes, I know. There's just always something, but you can't do it anymore. Like, nowhere in world sport has world except bloody boxing or something, but they just do that to promote the sport.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the same as F1. It's the same as anywhere. You can't say anything in the media because you just get ridiculed for it. You're on front page for the wrong reason, and then, you know, you lose sponsors and, you know... endorsement deals. Crazy. Yeah, Gypsy, just how it is.
Gypsy Tail says the same thing of Supercross and Motocross riders. Like, Danger Boy Deegan's probably the first person to really come out and he's helping elevate the sport. And Aussies don't like to hear this, but like, he's talking a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's good to see. Diego Moreira did, has talked a little bit of shit to Aaron Canet as well. And now, I mean, look at Moreira. He's backed it up and he's gone, won a world title.
He
and
has definitely backed up.
And gone to MotoGP, you know. T Shavs, what's something that impressed you a lot this year?
I've got two. Yeah. For me, I loved the circuit Bruno back on the calendar.
Mm.
That impressed me massively. And I just forgot how good that circuit was. The fans, the that stadium section, great racing. Great racing. Remembered for probably the wrong reasons with tire pressures and stuff throughout that weekend. But
yeah,
it did produce a great race on Sunday. And also the sprint was awesome. And then the other one's the obvious one we haven't spotted. We all speak about it in the next few questions, but Honda's improvement.
Yeah.
You know, that just really impressed me from, and we'll find out later about these predictions, but you know, I had them probably second last and third last from memory. So didn't see it coming, James. I did not see it coming. So that was what impressed me. What about you?
Shows how much we know, huh? I like that. The Bruno answer. Great answer.
Thank you.
Fucking oath. That's a great answer. It was great to see Bruno back, man. That's a fucking awesome track. Yeah. And apparently one of the best to go to.
Dude, it was incredible. And I love it's wide,
yeah.
Change of direction.
Undulation.
Some of those corners in the back part of the circuit. Oh, geez, I forgot all about that.
If you want to make a motorsport fan calm, you just say the word undulation.
Yeah, it's true. But it's true. I mean, all the great circuits in the world. You look at that fucking piece of shit, hungry fucking...
Balaton Park.
Flat as a fucking, you know... 40 kilos chick's ass. You want something fuck with a bit of character, a bit of curvature. You know what I'm saying?
Need something with a little bit of something.
Yeah,
you need
something to grab onto.
That's right. But Bruno is something to grab onto.
100%.
Bellaton Park, you're fucking exactly right. Why does all our... they always just lead back to women.
Well, it's sex. You know, it's disgusting. It's bloody disgusting.
What's the question? What's something that's oppressed you a lot this year? I've got two. The first one for me is Raul Fernandez, and I guess, you know, he hasn't been consistent the whole way through, but even just the last six races, just to even pull a win, get like a podium and be, you know, consistently more in the top 10, top six, I think that's impressed me a lot.
Yeah.
That's been really, really, really good to see, and just something different. And what's impressive is he's been in the sport for like 3 or 4 years. Mm. So then finally win a race and to, you know, we spoke to him at Phillip Islands and to finally try and just turn it around with Aprilia is something that, you know, shouldn't just be sneezed at as well. I think that's a great job by Raul.
Yeah, he was super impressive the second half of the season. And look, if we had this review show halfway through this season, my most surprising would probably be Iaguro. We haven't even spoken about him.
Mm.
He finished 5th in his first MotoGP race on that Aprilia back in Thailand. We were there.
Mm.
Probably didn't appreciate it. Well, we did appreciate the time, but as he go to the end of the season, there's so many other things that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trackhouse were amazing this year.
Yeah.
They really have bounced back and a really cool team. And your other one, sorry?
On the best bike, just about Trackhouse, and they could be getting turfed over to a Honda.
Yeah, well, that's a story for another day, or another podcast, I should say.
Second one, I'm just kind of thinking on the fly here, and it's not MotoGP, it's Moto2. I loved Moto2 this season. I thought your category, but I loved how it went down to the wire. Obviously, Diego Moreira kind of won it by then, but it was just, it was great to see heaps of young new faces coming through. Everyone really fast and very competitive. You kind of didn't know who was going to win on that day. So, so exciting. You know, Moto3 is always good to watch. It's always going to be good to watch. Moto2 has been a bore for a long time. The past few seasons has been really good. But there's just so much talent in that grid that I love watching it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I say it each and every week. I read out these names and these top 10 that we do and who's finished the first to 10th. And you go, oh my God, this, you know. It's not who finishes in the top 10 Moto2. It's actually who finishes outside the top 10 that is the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
Because the talent that is in that category. I mean, no wonder the half of them are going to World Superbikes and Supersport because there's no pathway left. No,
there's not. You have to go to Supersport or Superbikes. That's really it.
Like, the graveyard. Yeah. Jesus.
It's harsh.
Of course, yeah.
It's fucking harsh.
We tell it how it is, though.
That's true. Can you pinpoint when Mark was fully in control of the championship? And before you say your answer, we haven't even spoken about Mark Marquez yet. He's fucking dominated the championship this season. But when can you pinpoint when he was fully in control?
Sepang test.
I like that answer.
All the way through, you know, he jumped on that bike and just looked dominant. But in all honesty, probably around Assen time. For me, Assen was, you know, the tyre pressure scandal. He had to go back behind, forget who it was, and then obviously get his tyre pressure back up and then shoots for victory. So it was a pretty amazing...
He did that at Bruno behind Pedro Acosta.
Yeah. He did it again in Assen as well.
Did he do that in Assen as well? Fuck.
Yep.
There you go.
So, yeah, that was when he took control of the championship really early in the season. And, you know, even, I mean, I'm probably saying every answer here, but, you know, Thailand, I mean, he won the race, the first race on the bike. You know, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And
same thing. He went behind Alex Marquez.
Yeah. it's an amazing year.
Amazing year.
What about you?
For me, I kind of said it before. I hinted at it. It was definitely Mugello for me. After Mugello beating Bags in his own, you know, at his own team, own home track, like everyone was behind him. The pressure was on. He doesn't really like Mugello as it is. It was one of his bogey tracks like Qatar. But to win and then convincingly do the double or triple, whatever he did in Mugello was, for me, when I was like, that's done. Yeah. The title's done. It's his. And he just goes on a massive run and wins just about everything. So for me, like, yeah, which is funny because it's always been a bit of a bogey track, but it's, you know, and you know, it's crazy. It's a home of Ducati. He was getting booed. Remember, Tardozzi is gone. He's winning Rosso. It's going crazy. So the pressure was there, but to then battle head to head with Bagnaia, beat him in his own game, and then just charge off into the lead. I just thought,
he won't cop that next year in Mugello. I think that's the last year.
Fuck, that's a hot take.
I just don't see how someone can impress you that much and dominate a season that much on an inferior motorcycle, and then you're still booing the guy.
Inferior motorcycle is a stretch though.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, his teammate just was decapitated in the last half of the season, and then the 24 bike, which usually should drop away, was better. You know, it's incredible to see. So yeah, very harsh. I'm not saying inferior, but well, that's probably a great opening for your next question, James. Look at that for a little transition.
Fuck, mate, he's fucking good. He's very good. Which manufacturer produced the best bike in 2025, and how clear was the gap?
And I started this podcast after your beautiful monologue talking about this is the big grappling thing for this season. You have a guy on a Ducati who is absolutely dominated, and each and every week we're saying it's not the best bike.
Yeah.
And how can we sit here and say that?
Yeah.
How can we sit here and say... Now, my answer, James, is Aprilia. They developed their bike from probably the third or fourth best bike at the start of the year to the best bike by the end of the year. And that is why they built the best bike for 2025. Ducati went backwards, which is surprising. You normally see them go forwards. The 2024 bike stayed amazing all year and even probably got even better somehow at the end of the season. So, but you still have to say Aprilia for me. What do you think?
Look, I agree it's Aprilia, I guess, is the most rideable bike. But obviously, they didn't have a Marc Marquez, and Marc Marquez was out for like the last five rounds. So, would that have changed our perceptions on it? But as a manufacturer as a whole, Ducati is still the best. The GP24 is still the best. They went backwards on the GP25, but then still dominated the title. Like, they listened to Marc Marquez. And they even came out and said they probably listened to Marc too much. You know, I don't know how much he can change from, you know, the timeline kind of does add up though, because, you know, they're talking, Pecco went down, you know, seven rounds in or whatever. Could they tweak that bike that much where, I don't think so, where Bagnaia can't ride it mysteriously now? Like, you would even just keep the base setting from fucking the Barcelona test at the start of the year. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. Because they can always go back to their old bike. Like,
base setup.
Yeah, they say, oh, Pecco, we're going to go back to you. We'll give you the bike we gave you in Coda, where you won the race. Yeah. You know, like, I just don't understand how it can go from podium pace to him back with Chandra and then falling off for fun in Indonesia.
Yeah, and San Marino. Yeah. Like, 100%.
Well, San Marino was a shocking one because he lives fucking next door to it, you know? He's done so many laps around that joint.
I know.
And he was nowhere on the bike, which just doesn't make sense. You're better off putting him on a bloody road bike that weekend.
Yeah, I know. It was wild to watch. Where Aprilia, I think you're right, is the most rideable bike on the grid at the moment. And that's Ducati's DNA, the most rideable bikes. Mm. And it works when you see a Firmin Aldeguer win a race. That shows you how rideable that GP24 is.
True, but the argument to that is then you've got Raul Fernandez winning a race on an Aprilia as well.
Bro, 100%.
And that's just as amazing in my opinion. Because he's been there, but he's done nothing. Absolutely nothing since he's been in MotoGP.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. Good. But the argument to that is it's Aldeguer's first year as well. Yeah. So it's incredible.
But it's funny. Like both sides of it, you can kind of... Both sides is kind of right.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of right. So it's a funny one. T Shav's biggest controversy or talking points of the season?
Yeah, Martin to Honda is probably the biggest one for me. Yeah. Came by a massive surprise when he showed no to little loyalty to a team that put everything into him.
Yeah.
That was the biggest controversy for me this year. He shocked the world with that, didn't he?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, it's Jorge Martin's the contract saga from when it first came out, in Le Mans, Silverstone, and bang, Bezzecchi wins on Aprilia. Like, you can't make that shit up. But then, you know, we were thinking, oh, maybe it's his agent wants some more money, wants some Honda dollars.
We haven't really got a clear answer on that yet.
No one's got a clear answer on any of it.
Yeah.
It just seems like Aprilia are ready to fight it in court or whatever it is.
But we actually didn't even get confirmation that Honda were involved in it either. We all made assumptions for that.
Well, Alberto Puig came out and said he said they were without saying they were. He said if Jorge Martin's a free agent, we will be looking at him. That's all he said.
My personal opinion of that whole event is he tried to do it, and I reckon it's actually been blocked somehow. So he tried to go to Honda, but they said, your contract says you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then also the CEO of MotoGP came out and said, we're not letting riders sign with other teams if they're contracted. Mm. So he's actually been blocked by the MotoGP. If that were blockage didn't come, he'd be running a Honda next year.
Maybe.
That's how I gathered that.
Well, Honda's not going to stop him.
No, well, of course not.
You know, I think Aprilia tried pretty fucking hard to stop him. And then, maybe MotoGP is just put their foot down at the same time because, like, what's the point of a contract?
Yeah, well, in world sport, the contracts are an issue, my God.
Yeah, none of it really means anything anymore. But yeah, that has to be the biggest saga. Like, that was massive. All the injuries... you know, on and off the track was huge. And then it was almost a farce by the end of it. And like now, Bezzecchi is the man in that team. And it's like, can Jorge Martin be a man in that team next year? Like, if they lost the respect for him?
No, it's like when your missus cheats on you or vice versa. There's always going to be in the back of your mind. But you can move on.
Nah, but there's always resentment, mate. If she's cheating on you... You're never trusting her again. There's always resentment. You're not going to be fucking living with that.
100%. But that's what it's going to be like for Aprilia next year.
Yeah, that's
right. They're going to have that resentment in the back of their mind. So they can move forward, and on the surface, it might look fine and dandy, and you might be winning a race or two. But the real question will be at the end of next year when contracts are up. And it might even be halfway through the season, I should say.
It'll be halfway. It's definitely going to be halfway through the season. Yep. By Mugello, something will be signed. Mm. So he doesn't have long left. He's got to start winning. So there's a lot of pressure on him. Which rivalry delivered the most drama?
There's not a lot of rivalries in 2025, but I think even after 10 years, it's still Rossi and Marquez.
It's fucking hilarious. I almost wrote that down. It's so funny.
After the documentary series, I think it still has to be the VRs fucked. Versus the MMs. Probably the fan base, isn't it?
Yeah. So. I wrote, my answer was there was no rivalry.
Yeah.
Which is very, very funny. But Rossi versus Marquez is a fucking pisser. That's great.
Yep.
Love it. What was the most heartbreaking moment? This surely is an easy one.
Yeah, Quartararo Silverstone.
Yeah, it has to be.
You know, he's on all fours, still on the racetrack, and devastating. He would have won that race easily. So, gods were on Aprilia's side that day, because Bez won. But yeah, it was hard because he's been struggling there. He's been cashed up in the bank. We all know that. He made his bed. He chose his bed. He's got to sleep in it now. So, but yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking to see. Jimmy, we always talk about the OG fans on this podcast, but what about the OG sponsors?
Mate, the OG sponsor, motoheaven.com.au, T-Shavs. They've been with us from the start. The absolute start. How good's that?
They're amazing. Amazing organization.
They are the best. All orders go in the draw to win $250 gift card every month, T-Shav. So you have to, you can spend anything at motorheaven.com.au and you automatically go in the draw to win a $250 gift card every single month.
Amazing. There's no excuses there.
Nope. It's Australia's largest range online. And we challenge the fans to use the website. The usability of the website is the absolute best. Even you and I can find the tools or the helmets or whatever we need for our motorcycle.
Guys, they have the best parts finder in the business. And it's also free shipping over
$150.
Awesome.
Head to motorheaven.com.au. They are the OG sponsors for our OG fans. If Quartararo, I'm with you. My Quartararo is my answer. But if Quartararo won that race, would Yamaha's... I'm not going to say the season would have looked any different, but would there be just a little bit less pressure on him?
I don't know.
Because Honda didn't win a race.
No, I don't think it would have changed anything for me. I think seeing them, like, the last four bikes pretty much in the last four races, weren't they? So I don't think it would have changed anything from my opinion right now sitting here.
No.
Because in my mind, they did win that race, you know. Like, yeah. They had the pace that weekend to still win it. It was a mechanical failure. Would it have changed Aprilia's year? Maybe, because it really sparked them into something that we never thought would see at that point in the season.
True, and we do say Silverstone can throw up wacky results.
You said it about 5 minutes ago.
That's exactly right. What trends did we completely miss going into the season?
It's
a good question.
It's good because it's my point of view was Honda's development.
Yes.
And I did not see that happening, and I know you did. So we're going to have a completely different answer on this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, Honda's development, their rise, not to the top. Let's not get fucking too excited there, James Shaw. Mm. They're nowhere near the top.
Mm.
They're not going to be near the top next year, but they may snag a podium or two, which I never thought I'd see the day.
They've already done it this year.
Well, yeah, before the new rules are out. Mm. I never thought I'd see that. So, you know, Vermeer and Marini, very impressed.
I love that. Get on the Honda train, bro. I love it. Missed HRC. Never been missed HRC.
No. God, no. No. Well, you know, it's... I don't know. Something about that team. It's just... You've stripped Repsol off the bike and I'm there. I'm happy now.
Remember
Repsol's just the... I don't know. It's the Achilles heel for me.
Remember when you were digging through your closet and you found a Repsol Honda Polo?
Yeah.
Why the fuck did you buy that?
Probably because it was cheap.
You must have been like, I got that.
That's
$8.
That's my oil rag in the... In the bloody garage.
Pardon the pun?
Yes. Not oil. And not in the garage.
Neatly pressed somewhere.
That's
like it. Like a Mrs. has folded it. For me, it is Aprilia bouncing back after Jorge Martin's injury and developing the most rideable motorcycle. Because I definitely did not see that at the start of the year. I thought they were going to be good, but I didn't think they were going to be as rideable and arguably the best bike on the grid. And I'm going to beat them down again, and it's KTM and how lackluster they've been.
So you had them at the start of the year as...
I thought they were going to be quite good.
Quite good, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately. So that's for me... for me, still Aprilia is an amazing story.
Yep.
It really is. Like, I know they should be up there, like, but they, at the same time, they hadn't really proven themselves to be up there yet.
Yep.
And they all started with fucking their legs tied up and one hand behind their back.
Yeah.
With Jorge Martin's injury. So they really had to do it the hard way. T-Shavs, who has proved us wrong this year?
Well, I'll stay on that bandwagon. Bezzecchi for me. Yeah. After his 2024 season, he got signed to Aprilia and I thought he's just going to be the whipping boy up the back and it's all going to be a Jorge Martin show. Never gave him a chance this year, and for him to win... You know, when he won the last couple of races and had a fantastic season. Yeah, that's for me. He proved me wrong massively this year.
I love it. I love it. That's it's true. I've flipped from you and I've gone, look, I've gone HRC. I thought they were going to be...
Of course you have.
Better. I mean, I thought... I knew they were going to be better, okay. But I didn't think they were going to be two podiums better.
Yeah.
For me. So they still proved me wrong to a degree, but of course I'm an HRC fanboy.
Special mention from mine was, Mir for me was probably a close second. He definitely proved me wrong this year, so.
Yeah, true. Mm. Good point.
Because he was number one T-Shav target there for a couple of years, so. And he's still on there. He still does a little crashy every now and then.
Oh, fucking lots of crashes.
Yeah, a little front end slide. So, yeah, for me, but he still proved me wrong. He was fast in the second half of the season.
All right, we're going through our 2025 predictions.
All right, are you going to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. So, we'll go through both of us. So, 20 seconds we both had. So, last was Somkiat Chantra we both had.
That was a shoo-in.
Which is a shoo-in, which he actually did worse than that, Tom. Somkiat Chantra actually finished 26th.
So, behind three fucking test riders.
So he's behind Augusto Fernandez. Sorry, not Adrian Fernandez. I'm Primark. So Chantra scored 7 points. Fernandez scored 8 points. Savadori on 24th scored 8 points. Nakagami scored 10. And Paul Spargo scored 29, which was amazing. And he only did like three races. So
that's incredible.
Somehow Chantra actually did worse than 22nd. He got 26th. So fucking shit house from him. So 21st for me was Rael Fernandez.
Ooh, that's bad.
Tom Shavulak for you, Luca Marini. You fucking had HRC right on your hit list. 21st and second last, Jorge Martin, which none of us saw that happen.
No.
None of us saw that happening.
What I might do, James, I might have the championship results. You don't have to keep flicking
up
and down.
Luca Marini was 13th and Rael Fernandez was 10th. Bro, Rael Fernandez finished 10th in the season. That's fucking unbelievable, isn't that? Top Very 10, good. 172 points. Podiums, one race win. That's incredible. Finished 20-something points ahead of Brad Binder, T-Shavs.
Beautiful.
All right. So, for 20th place for me was Luca Marini. And for you, T-Shavs, Jesus Christ, Juan Mir.
So, Marini finished 13th and Mir finished 15th in the podium, in the standings.
Not far off. Not far off at all. It's actually not too bad. 19th for me was Aigura. And Tom, Shavulak for you, Rael Fernandez.
So, Rael Fernandez finished 10th and Aigura finished 16th.
Fucking hell. Where did he finish?
16th.
Gotcha. 18th place, I had Maverick Vinales. Fucking hell. You had John Zarco.
Vinales was correct. He finished in his 18th.
Ding, ding, ding.
And Zarco was 12th.
Maverick Vinales only finished... I guess he only finished there because he fucking missed about seven Grand Prix.
That's correct.
17th for me was Fermín Aldeguer. 17th for you was Fermín Aldeguer.
Aldeguer finished 8th place. Had a really, really good season.
Yeah. Does it say how many wins he's got there?
No.
No, that's all right. What did he do? He had one, didn't he?
Yep.
One win, three podiums. Fucking incredible. 16th for me was Johan Zarco. And for you, Aigura.
So, Zarco finished 12th. Aigura finished 16th.
Oh, geez, there we go. 15th in the Bastianini for me, Tom. You had Alex Rins.
Bastianini finished 14th. Alex Rins finished 19th.
19th. Fuck, yeah, he had a rough season, didn't he? Jesus. 14th place, I had Jack Miller. Tom, you had Jack Miller.
Jack Miller finished 17th, 79 points.
Come on, Jack. 13th place, Juan Mir for me. And for you, Miguel Oliveira.
Mir finished 15th. Oliveira finished 20th.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much second, third. Pretty much third last, Oliveira. Had a horrendous season.
Didn't he ever? He was injured at the start for a few rounds.
No, he was nowhere. There's no fucking excuses.
No, but he missed like three rounds.
Fucking nowhere.
Maybe more. But he was. Like, he was well behind Jack in most races. 12th place. I already said that one, didn't I? 11th place. I had Alex Rins. You had Enea Bastianini.
Bastianini. Mr. Bastianini finished 14th.
Yep.
And who'd you have? Rins finished 19th.
Yeah.
We just said that.
Yeah. For me, in 10th place, top 10, I had Brad Binder. T-Shavs, you had Brad Binder.
Brad Binder finished 11th.
Fuck, well, close with him. Close on him, yeah, fuck. But that's still an underwhelming season for Brad, realistically. 9th place, I had Franco Morbidelli. Tom, you had Marco Bezzecchi.
Morbidelli finished 7th, Bezzecchi 3rd.
Fuck, yeah, no, that was... Yeah, a hard one. 8th place, I had Alex Marquez. How wrong was I? You had Fabio Quartararo, Tom.
Quartararo finished 9th.
Fuck,
and
close.
And Alex Marquez finishes 2nd.
Yeah, yeah. Number 7, 7th place, I had Fabio Di Giantonio. Tom, you had Alex Marquez.
Okay, Alex second. And did you finish sixth?
Did you sixth? Pedro Acosta I had for sixth place. Tom, you had Franco Morbidelli.
As we said, Franco Morbidelli had a horrendous season, but still finished seventh.
That's fucked up.
And Acosta finished fourth.
Top five, Tom, for me, I had Marco Bezzecchi, which, and you had Digia.
Bezzecchi third and yep. Digia sixth.
Yeah.
Close.
Fourth for me was Fabio Quartararo. Tom, Pedro Acosta.
Quartararo ninth. I always didn't like that. I never liked that from you at the start of the season.
Yeah, you gave me shit for that.
I did, I remember.
Yeah.
Quartararo finished ninth, as we said, and I had, who did I have?
Pedro Acosta.
Fourth.
Yeah, you got it on
yep.
the money.
Yep.
We both picked 1, 2, 3 the same.
Yep.
Jorge Martin third. Yep. Which obviously was fucking nowhere.
Completely wrong.
Pecco Bagnaia we both had for seconds.
Yep. He finished fifth.
Yep. And then Marc Marquez, obviously ding ding ding. We yep. both picked that for winner, which we actually copped a bit of shit for Marquez winning. Picking Marquez winning the championship. But like looking back on it now, well, we only got like two right each.
Who won Rookie of the Year?
Fermín Aldeguer.
Well done. So you got that one. I had Aigura, which mm-hmm. was looking fantastic at the first race of the season, but he dropped away. Yeah.
But in saying that, Aigura didn't have the worst season.
No.
He got 16th, I get that. Was injured a lot, but rookie things, man. Rookie things. What was your flop of the year, Tom?
You tell me. You got it.
Oh, you don't have it in front of you. Sorry. You had Ennea Bastianini.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty fucking good. That's pretty I'll just about give you that on a shitty KDM.
Hey, dude, that's pretty close, yeah.
I'm actually the same as you. Mine was... I don't know if this is a flop, though. I had KDM Tech 3.
Who is the flop of the season?
It's got to be probably... That's a good question. Yeah. Who is the flop of the season? It's probably...
You can almost say bloody Pecco Bagnaia, to be honest.
It's Bagnaia or just Jorge Martin's title challenge.
Yeah.
It has to be. It's either those two. Really.
Most improved. I'm going to enjoy this one. James, what was your most improved?
My most improved, and I reckon I got pretty close to this, was Monster Energy Factory Yamaha. I couldn't be any more. I was convinced. Remember after Sepang, they were fucking it. They were fast. I'm like, Quartararo's quick. And they just cock-teased me. You know, Maverick Vinales me like 2017.
There wasn't even cock-teasing. There was just, you got fucking fucked up the ass pretty much. There was no cock-teasing.
Nah, they were around the outsides or swimming in the
No, who did I have?
Most improved was VR46. Fucking idiot.
That's equally as bad.
Yeah. And they were on a fucking, they at least were on a good bike. But they were fucking nowhere. Mm. That's shit house. And teams champions, we obviously both had Factory Lenovo Ducati T-Shavs.
Yeah, well, which was one-man team pretty much by the end.
It was a one-man team for at least half a season.
Yep.
Love it, bro. Fuck. That's amazing. All right, let's do our hot takes, T-Shavs. Fucking what a wild ride this has been, bro. I can't believe. I can't believe it's all coming to an end.
Yeah, it's been a crazy season. It's a bloody short off season, though, I'll tell you that much.
Bro,
it's we'll be right into it very soon.
Very short off season. All right, thank you for everyone sending them through. We've got two sets of hot takes. First one is we put out to see what was everyone's bold predictions at the start of the year, just like how what we did. So it's actually funny to hear what people were saying. So this is everyone's bold predictions at the start of the year. This is from at Abby GXR. Jorge Martin wouldn't win a race. Predicted this pre-injury.
Well done.
It's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad.
Kudos. You were right. You wouldn't have had much fan base back then because a lot of people were calling him to have a really good season, which he would have. He would have had a really good season.
We had him at third. That's winning races.
Yep. But you know, it's like saying Aigura had a great season, but he finished 16th. Like yeah. He didn't. He was injured.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shit still a shit season. You can't get injured. You know.
No, you can't get injured. 100%. At Jeremy Moran, I thought Chancho would repeat a similar debut to Marquez and become world champ. Oh boy.
No way.
Nah, I love that. That's fucking great.
At least you're honest.
I think it's a bit of tongue in cheek there. at the score, George.Wall. We all knew Mark would dominate, but not to the extent he did. Imagine what could have been injury free.
Mm.
Last five races he could have won, just dominated everyone. At Dwan to try for Jorge Martin to be second and third in the championship. Good thing I didn't bet my house on it. Very, very fair call. It's called Papa, our boy. Predicted Alex Marquez to be top three.
Here we go.
Fuck, that's a good one because I don't know anyone that picked that.
No. I mean, like he obviously performed really well in testing, and don't get me wrong, it was that was amazing his test, but. Mm-hmm. I really didn't predict him being in a top three of the world championship. No way.
No way.
Not when you had the likes of, you know, you had thinking Pecco was going to be up there. You thought Martin was going to be up there and you thought Marquez. Like, there's no way those three weren't going to finish on the top three. And then obviously how wrong we were because Pecco and bloody Martin both are out of the top three.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you know, no one would have thought Alex Marquez or even Bez. Bay 1 bikes, Acosta to win, which is, oh, fuck, man, not a bad prediction to have, but it didn't happen. But like that's not a bad prediction at all.
Mm. Yeah, his team let him down all year. He's got some serious talent, especially like Portimao, watching him, you know, fighting.
Sepang, you were impressed with him by Sepang?
Sepang, yeah. He was, he's a star, but he's going to be stuck on that bike again for another year. We'll see what he can do.
At least another year, unfortunately. I still think he's gone. Now, thank you for everyone sending these ones in. This is all your hot takes from this year. At Willie Nels, how Acosta changed riding style towards Maverick. Maverick to make the bike faster can't be ignored.
Okay, so what does he mean by that?
So basically, Acosta almost copied Maverick Vinales' style of riding that KDM.
Okay.
You know, from pretty, like so mid-year on, whatever
Qatar,
it is.
He saw Qatar.
Yeah, even a few rounds after. Because Acosta still tried to ride it how Acosta would normally ride it and wasn't working. And that's when he finally gave in. It would have been quite a few rounds after Qatar.
Oh, dude, Vinales next year. That's gonna be interesting to see with bloody Cheeseburger Lorenzo on his back wheel, pretty much pushing him along.
Mate, Rocky and Apollo Creed.
It could be. God, it could be Smokey for the championship.
Oh, put it on. Let's see our predictions now. Maverick Vinales first.
I actually got a funky feeling that he's going to go really well next year.
If Maverick Vinales, I'll tell you this right now. If Maverick Vinales wins a race next year, you know how they normally have like, Zarco wins and Lucio Ceccanello gets like the trophy for the team. Jorge Lorenzo will push fucking Gunter Steiner out of the way and he'll be the man accepting that fucking trophy.
1,000%. And he'll make it all about himself.
Oh, fuck yeah. He'll have his own Lorenzo's Land flag put in the fucking the podium ceremony. It'd be hilarious. It's all about him, mate. At Josh Diddick, 2026 wish list. Jorge Martin, no injuries, please. GP26, solve Pecco's woes. Bare minimum. 72, 73, 63, 93, and 89 fight for a title.
God. Lots of numbers there. You can't fit the names in the hot takes, so you have to put the numbers. It's actually a smart move.
Josh Diddick, that is a man that knows our hot takes.
Yeah. We do get complaints about how small the hot take can be, so he's overcome that amazingly.
At Sinai_Thompson1, one of the biggest moments has to be Zarco winning the French GP and Aldeguer winning as a rookie. Both amazing.
Yeah, both amazing. Really, 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 really good. I did not see Aldeguer doing that. Actually, you know what? I actually forgot him out of my most surprising because that's got to be up there. I had him. He had a fucking terrible 2024 season. You got to remember on that Moto2 bike, we couldn't believe that he was going to MotoGP.
True.
And he won a race, you know?
And consistently fast with multiple podiums.
He was podium hunting all year. Well, not he second was, half of the year.
No, he was quicker, I think, even in Jerez.
Because he got taken out a couple of times as well. Bruno, he got taken. No, Alex took out Mir, didn't he?
Yeah,
that was. Well, I'm thinking Grassini going down, but...
Same shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Mir crashing, so it can be blurry to about 8 different incidents.
Or getting taken out. That was Mir's problem this year. He got taken out a lot as well.
He did. A few by Morbidelli, I think. At Frosty.Heat, when Rossi walked past Marquez and denied his existence... Remember that in the pits? Cold as ice.
Rivalry still as strong as ever by the sounds of things.
It's messed up, man. It's messed up. Nikki D3604. If Mark got punted again and couldn't compete in 2026, who would win the title? Fucking he's the man for hot takes, this guy.
It's got to be Bezzecchi, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's got to be Bezzecchi. Has to be Bezzecchi.
Unless that new Ducati is fast and Pecco can do.
Because the problem with Bezzecchi this year was he got out in front quite a lot. You got to remember even the Hungara Hungary race at Balaton Park, he was out in front. But the problem was Mark just stalks him. You know,
yeah, he does.
He just stays a second behind him, and then just the pressure applies to him. And then, as we always say, the worst thing you can see a pit board is Mark Marquez 0.0. It's the worst thing you can see. And he crumbled a couple of times this year from that. And naturally, anyone would.
Yeah, Bezzecchi even came out and said, when I saw Mark was now 0.8 behind me, my stomach dropped. It's like, bro, you're already mentally fucking defeated.
So you take him out of the equation on that Aprilia, you know, the world joy stuff.
I think they just know. And like, Bez is now only now just fighting for race wins consistently and then going up against someone who's just been doing it his whole life. And just, you know, taking no prisoners now on the Ducati, like, it must be so hard to even just keep composed. Because, like, as you said, he would run wide, make a mistake, whatever. So fair as well, going up against Mark Marquez, who's probably the greatest to ever do it. Like, it's a hard one. But if, as you said, if Marquez isn't there, then, yeah, it's probably Bez. You're right. Yeah. You know, he seems like he can go head-to-head. It seems like everyone can go head-to-head with each other. It's just when they go off against Mark, it's just a different ball game.
Yeah, it was like Michael Schumacher back in the day. It was the same thing with F1. Like, you just, it's that one guy that you know, if you leave a door open, he's going to make a move.
Yeah.
And you're naturally just, you know, we're waiting for it. You've been in the braking zone. You go, oh my God, is he there? Is he there? And then he just shows up, passes you, block pass, see you later. Race over. Done.
And that's right. That's like, it's block pass and it's done. But he's been clean. As I said at the start of this pod, he's been clean. Yeah, there's there hasn't been a real many incidents, has there?
No.
Only just to certain Italian riders. At Jeremy Moran, surprised Chantra didn't get a Lenovo Ducati seat. Oh my. Fuck. He deserves it.
He double tapped on that one.
Yeah, I liked it.
Bloody Moran.
I liked it. He knew he was going to give me a laugh, so I had to do it again. He gave me a double laugh.
He got double.
_ Samuel Sartori. David Alonso to win a championship in the Premier class before Pedro Acosta.
Wow.
That's T Shav, I reckon, could back that. I reckon that's a bit of you, I that
like
take.
That. I like that. That was good. Really good. That's good. Outside thinking. We like that Motorsport Republica.
Bro, you know.
That's why we invented the hot take, I suppose.
You never know. You just... I can see that happening. Like, I can't see Pedro Acosta winning a title unless he fucking jumps ship from KDM. Mm. KDM's a fucking bucket of pus, mate. Last one. _ Derek Hall. Zarco's home win was the most special. Then Mark's championship, it was a given.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Zarco's home win was just something else.
Zarco's home win. I mean, we've covered it a few times tonight, but yeah, it was incredible to see.
I guess it was a given with Mark to a degree. We still didn't know. Everyone was still apprehensive. He rode a Ducati last year in Gresini. He was fast, but to just be total domination now is another, you know, now it's just normal. It's like normal again. Mark's dominating.
If you outline this season, you know, before we started, and you said Mark Marquez was gonna crash out the 6th last race of the season and miss 5 races, and he still won a world championship convincingly, you'd be like, you're crazy,
bro.
It's only one man can do that.
Only one man. That's Mark Marquez. That's why, you know, we've kind of hardly spoken about him this whole podcast to a degree, but you know, you just can't underestimate how good he is. How good is the points don't tell you the story of the season, because he was out for 5 races, but he just obliterated everyone. You know, he went on that winning streak and won, you know, 10 races in a row or 8 races or whatever, did all the doubles, a sprint, like just took everyone out to deep waters and just see if they sunk or swim, and they all sunk.
It's a really good analogy. From my point of view, it's made next year even more exciting for him. You know, he's been out, he hasn't tested the bike. You know, it just gives a bit of light of hope to these Martins and these Bezzecchis and even his brother. I think Pecco's done, but yeah, it's super exciting, James, and thank you for an amazing year. It's been incredible. So
very exciting. Cannot wait. We've got our Christmas special next week.
Yes. And then we've got bloody special guests.
Yeah. We're filming special guests all week.
Rossi versus Marquez, special going into next year. And then we're back into it again.
Fuck me. We've got a lot of content coming through. It's not like, yes, we've just done a review show, but there's a lot of shit coming through.
Yeah. So stay tuned, guys, for all that. Stuff. And we appreciate all your love and support through the whole 2025 MotoGP season. So stay tuned for next year.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Beautiful. Thanks guys. Tom. Thank you. Thanks, James. See you guys.
Bye.